Psalm 5, I want to thank you for being back for a midweek service. And as we continue in our series through the book of Psalms, you've been sitting for a little while, so let's stand together for the reading of God's Word. We're going to talk about fervent praying tonight. Fervent praying. Psalm 5, I'm going to read the entire psalm, but we're only going to cover the first three verses, and we'll dissect this psalm some more of the following weeks to come, but we want to look here and get a whole picture here as we begin. Give ear to my words, O Lord. Consider my meditation. Hearken unto the voice of my cry, my King and my God. Unto thee will I pray. My voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee and will look up. For thou art not a God that hath pleasure in wickedness, neither shall evil dwell with thee. The foolish shall not stand in thy sight. Thou hatest all workers of iniquity. Thou shalt destroy them that speak leasing. The Lord will abhor the bloody and deceitful man. But as for me, I will come into thy house in the multitude of thy mercy, and in thy fear will I worship thee, worship toward thy holy temple. Lead me, O Lord, in thy righteousness because of mine enemies. Make thy way straight before my face. For there is no faithfulness in their mouth. Their inward part is very wickedness. Their throat is an open sepulcher. They flatter with their tongue. Destroy thou them, O God. Let them fall by their own counsels. Cast them out in the multitude of their transgressions, for they have rebelled against thee. But let all those that put their trust in thee, what's the next word? Rejoice. Let them ever shout for what? Joy, because thou defendest them. Let them also that love thy name be what? Joyful in thee. For thou, Lord, wilt bless the righteous. With favor wilt thou compass him as with a shield. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. Since the atomic bombs that were dropped on Hiroshima and Nagasaki on August 6, 1945, the world has lived in fear of nuclear destruction. And yet the most dangerous weapon known to humanity is far simpler and far more common than sophisticated nuclear warheads. It has damaged and destroyed far more people than all the collective weapons of war in world history. It is extremely deadly, and every one of us possess it. The Bible says in Proverbs 18:21, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Now, the reason I say that is because most scholars believe that though this is an imprecatory psalm or a psalm that would pray for the judgment of enemies, it is still connected to Psalm 3 and 4, which puts it in a setting of Absalom's rebellion against David. And David, as he flees, the Bible indicates here in two different verses that these people are speaking lies about David, and they're trying to overthrow the kingdom, and they're trying to rebel against God. The Bible says down in verse 6, notice, thou shalt destroy them that speak leasing. If you see that word highlighted, underline it, circle it, it means lying. It's a lying tongue. By the way, of which is the second thing on a list that God hates. It's listed as number two that God hates. He calls it an abomination. He doesn't like a tongue that is a deceitful tongue. And so here we have David who is fleeing, and these people are speaking badly about him. And not only are they speaking badly about him, they're pursuing him badly. And what does David do? He turns to God. He goes to his heavenly Father for help. By the way, that's good advice in the 21st century, is it not? Doesn't matter the circumstance. It doesn't matter if people are saying something, if people are doing something, or if nothing's happening. It all means, well, we probably should turn to God when we're having some problems. And yet many times we don't do that. Many times we'll turn other places. The prayer, Hudson Taylor said, the prayer power has never been tried to its full capacity. If we want to see mighty wonders of divine power and grace wrought in the place of weakness, failure, or disappointment, let us answer God's standing challenge. Call unto me, and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. I don't know about you, but I can always use an encouragement to prayer. I can always use someone to come alongside and either say that they're praying for me or ask me to pray with them, because I think we really haven't tapped in, like Hudson Taylor said, to the power of prayer. We don't do it enough. We don't stay fervent enough at it. We don't stay effectual at it. And because of that, we don't necessarily see the answers that God has for us. This prayer stands here in Psalms. Now, you got to remember, Psalms is the Jewish song book. And yet, many times, what are they? They're prayers. And they are the prayer fuel for many of us in the New Testament age. And so this prayer here in Psalm 5, I believe, stands as a timeless pattern for all of us to follow as long as we are living in this sin-sick world. And by the way, it's sick. The world that we live in is sin-sick, and it is absolutely consumed with self, consumed with pleasure, and completely anti-God, and yet we're not the first people to ever live in such a society. And so when we look at this pattern of prayer tonight, I want you to see two things, just 2 points tonight. Can you believe it? Just 2 points. People are going, yeah, I get it. 2 points, sure. Here it is. Ready? Number one, I want you to see what David prayed, what he actually prayed, or really what he prayed for. Instead of rushing to defend himself throughout the kingdom or attacking his enemies or trying to justify himself when his son's trying to run him off, who were his fellow countrymen, David called upon the Lord to deliver him from this critical situation. If we would pray after the same manner, I believe that we would have reason to hope as David hopes. And that's the one thing I've said already many, many times. When you read Psalms, even though David would pour out his heart to the Lord, you just see the glimmer of hope every single time. Oh, it may be 4 or 5 verses down, it may be 6 or 7 verses down, but there's something deep inside of David that is praying the way he's praying, and that gives him hope. And it's not what he's praying as opposed to the one he's praying to. So I want you to see, what did he pray for? First of all, he prayed for God's attention. He prayed for God's attention. Give ear to my words, O Lord. Like every child to their father, the only chance that you have of obtaining what you're asking for is if you have his full attention. Notice again and underline it. Give ear to my words, O Lord. Have you ever said those to God? God, would you please give ears to the words that I am praying? Give ears to the word. Give ears to my word, O Lord. Somebody said, though God is in heaven, he has an ear open to his people's prayers, and it is not heavy that he cannot hear. God is always ready to hear our prayer. We've got to remember those things because everything in the world is chanting otherwise. God's not available. God doesn't care. God doesn't love you. And yet he's begging for God's attention. By the way, I will tell you, you always have it. If the Lord Jesus Christ is ever interceding and the Holy Spirit is praying with groanings that cannot be uttered, you have his attention, but it's good to ask for more. God, give ears to the words that I'm praying. People may not hear you, or they cannot hear you at times. Your enemies may be so proud that they, of course, will not hear you. Your friends may be at such a distance that they cannot hear you. But friend, God, though lofty, though in heaven, he can and he will hear you, according to the Bible. Isaiah 59:1, behold, the Lord's hand is not short and that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. First of all, what is David praying for? God, would you please give ear to my words? Secondly, he's praying for God's consideration. First, he wants to make sure that he has God's attention. Secondly, he wants to pray for God's attention. Notice the phrase, give ear to my words, O Lord. Notice, consider my meditation. Consider my meditation. He asked the Lord to consider his meditations. First, the word consider means to discern or listen or perceive the heart. Lord, I want you to look deep in my soul. I want you to see what I'm concerned about. Meditations, by the way, and prayers ought to go hand in hand. In other words, many of us would go and we would pray and we would leave it there and then we would go on and we would perhaps act or manipulate or decide without meditating on what we offer to God. And the word meditation means whispers. It means to be in your mouth. In other words, it goes with you. In other words, men ought always to pray and not to faint. It becomes a part of your walk. It becomes a part of your daily routine that you would constantly stay meditating and whispering to God. You ever walk by somebody or work next to somebody that talks to themselves? Lowly? You'd be like, what did you say? Nothing. No, I heard you say something. Well, I was just, talking to myself. Well, I'd appreciate it if you didn't talk to yourself. God says, listen, I'm listening to what you do say to yourself. Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. You see, when we take our meditations, David is saying, look, Lord, I'm not just willing to pray about it. I want to pray, and I want to continue to pray. I want to bring it up to prayer, and I want you to know that this is on my heart all the time. You are on my heart. Give ear to my words, O Lord, consider my meditations. David's prayers were not only his words, but they were continually on his heart. They were heavy whispers of that preoccupation in his mind. By the way, meditation and prayer should go together. Look in your notes, Psalm 19 and verse 14. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. David said, I don't want them to be contradictory. I don't want them to be pharisaical or hypocritical. I want them to be the same. I want them to be acceptable, and I want you to look at what I'm meditating on, Lord. It's a burden. I want to have your attention. I need your consideration. I believe that when we consider our prayers, that is when the Lord will consider them as well. When we decide to consider and meditate on what we're actually praying, that God would see that we're a little more serious than just offering up a token prayer, saying, God help, God help. Because it will be that which is on our heart that will reach to His. He says, Lord, I want you to consider. I want you to perceive what's on my heart. Then thirdly, he's asking for God's observation. Notice, if you will, in verse 2, it seems to somewhat crescendo. In other words, he's asking for his attention. Give ear to my words, O Lord. Consider. It's a greater word. And then it says, hearken. And notice what it says. Hearken unto the voice of my prayer. Is that what it says? Is that what it says? Does it say, hearken unto the voice that I'm meditating on? No. What does it say? Hearken unto the voice. Hearken unto my cry, my King and my God. My cry. David gives us an insight to a pure heart of faith. That is because of what God sees. Now, how many understand that God sees the heart? According to the Bible, He's the only one that does. He's the only one that can discern it. Jeremiah 17:9, for the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? The next verse, verse 10, says, I, the Lord, try the reins. I see the heart. God sees David's heart, and he wants him to see his heart. Because of what God sees in the heart, he will then in due time return a gracious answer of peace. Do you get it? He's praying, he's meditating, and he's saying, God, I'm so serious about this. In the depth of my soul, there is nothing hindering in my integrity. I'm praying, and I'm going to wait, and I'm going to trust that in your time that you'll answer. Hearken unto the voice of my cry. They tell me that the phrase denotes fervency of affection and importunity of expression. And those kinds of prayers, according to the Bible, avail much. It's the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man. And David's saying, God, I want you to please observe the very core of my being, what I'm saying there, what I'm meditating on, and what you see in my heart, they all match. There's no hypocrisy here. I'm not doubting. I'm not double-minded. I'm not unstable in my ways. God, I really, really want your attention. God, I really want you to consider what I'm saying and how I'm saying it. I want you to look at my meditations, the things that I'm whispering on. And God, I want you to observe what only you can observe. And that's my heart. What David prays for. Secondly, what he pledges to do. He's praying, and now he's going into, like David does and many of the other Psalms, Lord, now this is how serious I am. You ever read in the Psalms, some of you guys that read the Bible on a regular basis and go through it and go through it and go through it, you ever read when David says, try me, Lord, according to my integrity? You ever read that? That's unbelievable. It's unbelievable, I think, to most of us because we don't have the audacity to really pray that way to God. Because we know what he knows about us. And we're kind of timid that way. I don't want to pray for something I'm not. I know, in reality, in many ways, probably every one of us, in some form or fashion, are a hypocrite at some time during the day. This is what we say we believe. We're not really acting like it. And God sees that. And so we get this intimidation to us and not trusting that the confession of sin and not really believing and trusting in God. And so we can't really ask the Lord to do that. But David did. David saw victory after victory. What David pledges, the Bible says in 1 John chapter 5, verse 14, and this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. Man, that is a great verse. If we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. David knows the Lord. I hope you do. David knows the Lord, and he knows him very well. His confidence in God is more than just a mustard seed. Though it would just take a mustard seed to move a sycamore tree and say, be thou planted over there. Though it would just take a faith of a mustard seed to say to that mountain, be thou removed, and it would be cast into the sea. David apparently has far more than that. Yet he knows that in order to pray with integrity, you must be walking in integrity and in regards to the will of God. So he pledges himself to the Lord by submitting to what he knows is right. And I want you to notice these phrases here in verse 2. Hearken unto the voice of my cry, my King and my God. And here's where he starts. For unto thee will I pray. I want you to see letter A, the promise to pray. Unto thee I will pray. The optimal word there is will. I'm going to do it. Though it's against my flesh, though I don't want to do it, I'm promising you, God, I am going to pray. Others may live without prayer, someone said, but David said unto thee, will I pray? For kings on their own thrones, such as David, must be beggars at God's. He didn't need anything physically. Even though he was being threatened and even though he was on the run, he was the rightful king. And yet, what was he? He really was just like you and me at the cross. Just a sinner. Just somebody who really loves the Lord, who just wants God's attention, wants God's consideration of what really is going on, and he wants his observation. And so he says, God, unto thee I'm going to pray. Matthew Henry said, the assurances God has given us of his readiness to hear our prayer should confirm our resolution to live and die praying. John Bunyan said, you can do more than pray after you have prayed, but you cannot do more than pray until you have prayed. Now, David promised the Lord that he would hear his voice in prayer. Secondly, I want you to see not just his promise to pray, I want you to see that he made prayer a priority. The priority in prayer. Now watch. Notice the phrase in verse 3. My voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee and will lift up. You notice the phrase in the morning is repeated twice. Do you know why? For importance. God's reiterating something. Prayer ought to be a priority. I heard of someone that prayed something like this. Dear God, so far today I've done all right. I haven't gossiped. I haven't lost my temper. I haven't been greedy, grumpy. I haven't been nasty or selfish or even overindulgent. And I'm very thankful for that, Lord. But in a few minutes, I'm going to get out of bed. And from then on, I'm probably going to need a lot of help. Amen. Now, I'm not recommending that prayer for anybody, okay? But I am saying there's a point that David is making. It would be in the morning that God would hear his prayer. That would be the timestamp, if you will. That would be the date of his letters to heaven. Not only then, of course, but certainly then. The Bible says in Psalm 55 and verse 7, David said, evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud. So certainly not only, that would be a duty. And he's prioritizing, God, in the morning, before I know the trials that are coming, in the morning, before I'm even tempted one time, in the morning, before I rush to do anything else that I deem important, Lord, I'm making you the important thing. I'm going to pray. Unto thee, I will lift my voice in the morning. Twice he makes the statement, my voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee and will look up. Morning prayer is our duty, someone said. We are the fittest for prayer when we are the most fresh and lively and with a composed frame, clear of the slumbers of the night, revived by them, and not yet filled with the busyness of the day. Oswald Chambers said, if in the first waking moment of the day you learn to fling the door back and let God in, every public thing will be stamped with the presence of God. David is pledging, God, when you get my letter, it's going to say when I sent it, it's going to be in the morning. I'm going to direct it in the morning. God, I want to make it a priority. Let me ask you a question. Is prayer a priority for you or is it a convenience? Do you have a habit of making God into some type of spiritual concierge, or are you in communion with him? Enoch walked with God and was not. Noah walked with God. Abraham was a friend of God. Moses saw God face to face. The fact of the matter is, I can use encouragement like that. I can be encouraged and challenged by a man of God who had a heart after God's own heart that said, you know what, Lord, in the morning I'm going to pray. But it just goes beyond just his promise to pray and his priority to prayer. Thirdly, it goes to the preciseness in prayer. The Bible says, notice at the end of verse 3, in the morning will I, notice this phrase, will I direct my prayer unto thee? The statement made is as the marksman directs his arrow to the center mark. Fixed and steady in mind and sight of the target, or as we would direct a letter to a friend and give an address specifically. So think of the benefits of being so fixed on the Lord God Almighty and so arranging your petitions before the throne of his holiness, offering them through the one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, and only in the grace of the Holy Spirit. That is, as the Bible puts it, if thine eye be single. David said, I'm not going to let anything else distract me. I'm going to put my eye on the mark, and I'm going to guide my prayers to thee. The Bible says, the light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. That is a commitment. My heart is fixed, Lord, upon thee. He shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. That's David's prayer. David said, Lord, I'm not going to be sidetracked. I'm not going to think of anybody else. I'm not going to think of anything else. I'm going to realize who I'm praying to, and I'm going to direct that prayer all the way through until it gets to your throne room. Wow. The preciseness of prayer, as if he were taking an arrow and marking it and shooting it exactly and then guiding it with his eye, he prays to God. Lord, I will direct my prayer unto thee. And I want you to see, fourthly, his patience in prayer. Now, many of us at different times in our lives have made commitments to pray, whether it's on the 24-hour clock before revival or missions conference, whether it's through a prayer list, whether it's a New Year resolution, we would say, Lord, I'm going to pray. My goal is to pray every single morning this year. My goal is to pray twice a day this year, whatever. And certainly that's, I think, a worthy goal. He that aims at nothing hits it every time. So I think it's worth saying to the Lord, Lord, I want to pray more, and I'm committing to you. But David said, I'm not going to commit. I will do it. That's a huge difference. He is determining, Lord, I am pledging to you. This is what I will do. And I'm not just doing it to pray, to offer up a bunch of words. Everybody listening? You know what I'm talking about? We just kind of rotely go through the prayer. He goes, no, Lord, Lord, no, no, no. I want you, when you consider my meditations, I want you to know it's a priority to me. Before I talk to anybody else, I want to talk to you, Lord. I want you to be the first person I speak to when I get out of this bed. I want you to be the last person to speak to when I go to bed at night. Why? Because I need you. Because I need thee every hour. Oh, Lord, I need thee. Lord, I'm going to be precise in my prayers. I'm going to make sure that I'm directing them and I'm not letting anything else. And Lord, I want to speak specifically about my needs because you see my heart. And Lord, I don't want it to be a paradox with what you see. I want it to be in conjunction with what you see. I want you to see letter D, the patience in prayer. Too many people pray like little boys who knock at doors and then run away. Have you not been like that on occasion? Where you prayed and you just offered it up, but then you lived like, I don't know if that's called taking God's grace for granted. I don't know if it's taking his throne for granted. I don't know, but I don't feel good about it. I never feel good about just throwing something up. I read something somewhere, I couldn't find it today, about offering prayers. Oh, I remember what it is. It's Patrick Henry's resolutions that he made for the new year, and I don't remember what year. One of them was to pray prayers worthy of God. Pray prayers that ought to be in his throne. And then wait for the answer. Too many times we just throw it up and then run away. I'm reminded in Psalm 85 and verse 8, I think you have it in your notes, I will hear what God the Lord will speak. David's praying a personal pledge to wait on the Lord, saying if I love this statement, if he grant what I asked, I will be thankful. If he deny, I will be patient. If he defer, that I may continue to pray and wait and not faint. What a tremendous statement. So no matter how it comes back, Lord, I'm just going to wait. I was watching a TV show on Sunday night. Our family tends to watch America's Funniest Home Videos and show this lady in the kitchen. She was cooking chicken in a frying pan, and she had her phone like this, just looking at the chicken, and she said, "Do you want some?" And she turned her phone, and on her leg was a dog pressed up against her leg and looking up at her and just sat there. And I thought to myself, man, that kind of patience ought to be rewarded. Because he sat there and he sat there and he sat there and he wasn't going to move. And I wonder if we would see in our lives less coincidence and more answers to prayer if we waited. I wonder if we would be stronger as Christians for staying importunate and praying and accepting whatever comes as God's answer. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. The people that wait and not run, the people that wait are the rewarders that diligently seek him, according to Hebrews 11:6. He spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. We must look up or look out as he that has shot an arrow looks to see how near it has come to the mark. Unto thee, notice what it says, I will direct my prayer unto thee and will look up. What is that? That is anticipation. I'm going to wait with anticipation. You've ever, folks are coming over to our house, or if the kids are coming over even for Thanksgiving, where the boys were getting ready to come home this last week and Austin was driving up. I remember doing this when my sister and brother-in-law or my brother and sister-in-law were coming over to the house. I was glued to the front window waiting for them to come. And I could be there for up to 30 minutes. It didn't matter. What are you doing? I'm waiting for Vanessa. I said, "Braden, what are you doing?" "I'm just waiting for the boys." "What are you doing?" "I'm waiting for so-and-so to come on." He'll sit there and he'll wait and wait and wait and wait until they finally come. By the way, that's the way we're supposed to be waiting for the Lord Jesus Christ. But you know, a good thing to practice is waiting for him in prayer. That's the whole idea. It's not, "Okay, Lord, I'm just sitting here waiting for you to give me an answer," because you're waiting for the answer. God says, "I've got something greater than the answer. It's me. I want you to," like the Bible says, "daily waiting at my gates." Why? Because according to Psalm 145, he opens his right hand and he satisfies the desire of every living thing. The eyes of all are upon thee, O Lord, the Bible says. Now, we've got to look up. We're supposed to be looking to Jesus. Remember, we're supposed to be setting our affections on things above, not on things of this earth. And we're never going to wait. We're never going to be waiting on the Lord. We're never going to be waiting on his answer if we're not looking. If we're not precisely directing our thoughts and our prayers toward him, if we're not pledging to make him a priority. Why? Because we've already prayed. Remember the model? God, I want you to see what's in here. Because what's in here is coming out. It's a cry. It's not just words. Lord, this has affected me emotionally, and I am begging you. I want you to consider that. Lord, hearken unto my words. Consider my meditations. And do as it seemeth good unto you. Someone wrote, "What various hindrances we meet in coming to a mercy seat, yet who that knows the worth of prayer but wishes to be often there? Prayer makes the darkened cloud withdraw. Prayer climbs the ladder Jacob saw, gives exercise to faith and love, brings every blessing from above. Restraining prayer, we cease to fight. Prayer makes the Christian's armor bright, and Satan trembles when he sees the weakest saint upon his knees. While Moses stood with his arms spread wide, success was found on Israel's side. But when through weariness they failed, that moment Amalek prevailed. Have you no words? I think again. Words flow apace when you complain and fill your fellow creature's ear with a sad tale of all your care. Were half the breath thus vainly spent to heaven in supplication sent, your cheerful song would oftener be, 'Hear what the Lord has done for me.'" Why is it that David over and over again comes to such great revelations and such great peace and such great comfort of joy? Even here he speaks, and I had you read it out loud, "Rejoice and joyful and joy," three times. How is it that he could come from such a heavy meditation and such a directed prayer and speak of all that he does and then resolves all over again? Why? Because he was waiting for it and he saw it. He waited and didn't move until it happened. Now, my challenge for you is, are you willing to wait? Better, are you willing to pray and wait? Are you willing to seek? And the verb there in the Greek is to continually seek. Why? So that you'll find. Are you willing to continue to ask so that you'll receive? Are you willing to continue to knock so that door will be opened? Because if I'm not, I'm not going to have, I'm not going to find, and I'm not going to have it open to me. Prayer and the model prayer, according to the Bible over and over again, is that of fervent praying. The Bible tells us the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And I want to challenge you, if you didn't pray today, I hope that you'll pray before you go to bed tonight. I hope that you'll reconsider and say, Lord, I don't want prayer to be like a leftover in the back of my refrigerator. And I go, oh, I forgot that was back there. I want it to be a priority. God, I want to make it the morning before I get a chance to get clouded and become so overly burdened. Lord, I'm going to come to you because only you know what's coming. Only you see who's going to be sitting across from me in my office. Only you know what a day may bring forth. So Lord, I'm just going to pray and I'm going to wait. The things that are burdening you down, many of you, I'm sure, have prayer requests that weren't offered tonight. Many of you have doubts and fears. Many of you have questions that you're waiting for answers. And I'm wondering tonight if you're willing to pray. If you're willing to write them down and offer them up and take that prayer as your model and say, now, God, now listen, don't pray about your spiritual integrity if you have none. David is willing to say, I'm putting my integrity on the line. I'm going to pray. I'm going to pray right. I'm going to pray with the right focus. And Lord, I'm not leaving here. I'm going to do that which I know is the perfect will of God. Why? Because when I go to your throne, I want to have praying ground. I want you to see what's in me so that what's in me can move you. Let's pray tonight. Heavenly Father, we love you and we thank you for being ever ready to hear our prayers. God, we have nowhere else to tune. To whom shall we go? For thou hast the words of eternal life. Lord, a Wednesday night crowd is going to be a more praying crowd, and yet I'm convinced with people, a group this size, that many of us needed to be tonight provoked unto love and good works. And Lord, I think outside of leading someone to Christ, perhaps the greatest work we can do is pray. And Lord, in fact, we can't lead people to Christ without praying. Perhaps that's why more people are not being saved. Perhaps that's why more grace is not being found sufficient. It's because we're not praying fervently. God, help us to pray. You've already taught us to pray. You've given us model after model after model to pray. God, throughout the Bible, we can go and we could spend the rest of tonight and all through the week looking at simple prayers in the Bible, yet how mightily you answered them. What was the difference? Their heart. Lord, you found a heart who was perfect toward you so that you could show yourself strong through them. Lord, may you find those type of hearts in here tonight. I pray, Lord, that you would, Lord, if you reveal sin to us tonight, that we would confess it and forsake it, that we'd find mercy. Help us not to cover it up. Help us to be on praying ground. Lord, help our hearts to be pure. And what you see, I pray, Lord, would be a pure heart of faith so that when we pray, you would not just hear, but you would answer, and you see a heart who's waiting and willing to wait for the answer. Help us, I pray. With heads bowed and eyes closed, right there where you're sitting, I'm going to have Miss Ashley begin to play. I want to pray for you tonight, and I wonder, it could be as simple as this. Pastor, I needed to be encouraged to pray again. Would you pray for me about my personal prayer life? I needed to be encouraged that way tonight. Would you just pray for me? Anybody like that? Just slip up your hand real quick. Okay. You put your hands down. Thank you. Pastor, I'm not very good at waiting. By the way, neither am I. I want to learn to wait. And I know that means that I need to need to pray more precisely, but I want to learn to wait so that I can please the Lord. However he answers, I want to be okay with. Would you pray for me about waiting? How many would say, Pastor, that's my prayer tonight? Anybody here like that? Just slip up your hand real quick. All right, you put your hands down. How many would say, Pastor, I want to have spiritual integrity when I go to the throne of grace. I want to have my heart right because I'm doing that which is right, so that when I pray, what God sees in my heart matches what he hears from my lips. How many would say, Pastor, that's my prayer tonight. Would you pray for me? Anybody like that? Just slip up your hand real quick. I want to be in the will of God. So when I pray, he sees that. Thank you. Lord, I want to pray for these, my brothers and sisters in Christ, that I, me included. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to be willing to wait, willing to pray and expect and look with expectation, waiting for the answer, and whatever that answer is. Lord, we want to be willing and ready to accept that. I pray, Lord, for those who needed to be admonished tonight and about their prayer life. I pray that you'd encourage them. Lord, every day, help them to remember that the Father, the Holy Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit of God waits for them. And I pray, God, we would make praying a priority. I pray, Heavenly Father, that that you would minister tonight to every heart, every hand that was raised in their specific need. God, we want to be patient in waiting, but we want to be diligent in praying. And Lord, I pray that you would be glorified in all of it. I pray, God, that tonight our hearts have been touched. I pray for those that have said that they want their hearts to be pure. They want to do what's right, and they want to be found doing what's right. So what they pray would match what they're doing, and I pray that you'd be pleased in that. Thank you for loving us. Thanks for not giving up on us. Thank you, Lord, for being so long-suffering and full of compassion and of great mercy. Thank you for being good. Now, Lord, tonight I pray that as we leave here through the remainder of this week and into Sunday, I pray that you would help us to pray. You've taught us, you've modeled it for us. Now, Lord, help us to execute. Pray that you'd minister to every need tonight, every family. I pray that you'd bless them with sweet rest. Pray that you comfort those, Lord, who are sick and still in need of healing tonight, that you would encourage them. Bless the remainder of our evening together, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.